Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of today's message is our epistle reading from Romans, the fifth chapter. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the virtue of suffering. It's rather difficult to cover such an expansive topic in just one sermon. So one of the things that I touched on 2 weeks ago is that God causes us to suffer because he loves us and he wants us to be with him in heaven. So it may be difficult for modern American Christians to understand that in this sinful world, it is only through suffering that God strengthens faith. Just look at Jacob in our Old Testament reading. He went from being a self-serving sinner to a man of God. And it happened because he suffered. Now, last week was a pretty rotten week for weather. I think you would agree. Not only did we get hammered with a blizzard, but you may have heard about the 70-mile-an-hour plus winds that struck the Dallas-Fort Worth area and did a great deal of damage at the airport. And not only that, then, you've also heard about the tremendous flooding that's taking place in my home state of Nebraska. Please keep those people in your prayers. Well, when my wife and I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, 1 year a violent storm struck that community with straight-line winds that were in excess of 70 miles an hour. After the storm, I was amazed at the number of mighty oak trees, massive trees, that had toppled over, being torn from their roots, big gaping holes left in the soil. In all my years of living in western Nebraska, I had never witnessed trees being knocked over at their roots. With the kind of winds that we experienced out there, those trees that we had, those elm trees and cottonwood trees, well, they didn't fall over. But there in Ann Arbor, 3-4 foot diameter oak trees were laying on their sides. Well, it wasn't hard to see. Rainfall is plentiful in Ann Arbor, and severe windstorms are a rarity. It's just the opposite in western Nebraska, where rainfall is rare and wind, like it is here, is rather plentiful. Those mighty oak trees in Ann Arbor were toppled over so easily because they had surprisingly shallow root systems for their size and age. You see, those roots didn't have to go very deep to find water. And they didn't have to spread out very far to provide for stability. But then when a stronger than normal wind strikes them, those mighty oaks fell because they didn't have much of a root system. But those elm and cottonwood trees back in western Nebraska have it a lot tougher. They have to send roots deep into the soil just to get a little bit of water. And they need to have expansive root systems to keep them upright in the winds. And because of that deep root system, these trees are durable. They can survive great windstorms and they can survive drought. In our epistle reading for today, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." With these words, the Apostle Paul teaches us Christians to rejoice in our sufferings, because through suffering, God firmly anchors your faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are strong, even though in this world we are weak. We are strong because God has poured into us the strong love of Christ that gives to our faith endurance, character, and hope. Now, I'll be honest with you, rejoicing isn't the first thing I think of when I suffer. It seems like it's a smart thing to do is to avoid suffering. When I'm sick, all I want to do is get better. I think it's true that we Christians have made it a national pastime, our national ambition to at all costs avoid any kind of suffering. Think about that. What's the first thing you do when you have an ache or a pain? Do you endure it? No. You go to the medicine cabinet and you get some sort of high-tech pain reliever. And if that doesn't work, you go to the doctor. If the weather looks bad, you go inside and turn on the weather channel. And if bad things do happen, well, you look to the government for help. But let's say for a moment that God does indeed insulate you from any kind of suffering, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Like those oak trees in Ann Arbor. Let's say that God does give you an easy life, that He does give you your best life now. So think about that. Let's say you don't have any money woes, that doctors could cure everything that ails you. If the world doesn't trouble you at all, if storms never strike your homes or your property, if your job is always secure, if government will indeed take care of your every need, if your children don't make any trouble for you. Think about that. If life was easy, would you need God? How long would you remain faithful to your Lord if life were a piece of cake? How long before you put your trust in the things of this world, like money and doctors, your jobs and government, or even in your own heart and abilities? Why do people want to be healthy and wealthy? So that they can enjoy the comforts of this life. I think that's why Jesus said it's easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When life is easy, when you are rich and prosperous, do you need God? So we tend to rejoice in prosperity and comfort, not in suffering. We think that in prosperity and comfort, that is where God is actually blessing us. But is it really a blessing that we Christians in America don't really have to suffer, especially for our faith in Jesus? After all, how many of you here have really actually suffered for your faith in Jesus? How many of you have been persecuted, ridiculed, lost your job, or received a bad grade because you believe in Jesus? How many of you have ever been called a Jesus freak or backwards and bigoted because you believe in God and His Word? Not many of us here have had to face real persecution like our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ do in other countries. As I look at the Christian scene in America, I don't think that's a good thing. But I do know that God always uses persecution to purify and strengthen His church. Church attendance is declining in America, not because life is hard, but because life is easy. And furthermore, church membership is declining in America, not because the church isn't doing evangelism, but because it's no longer fashionable for nominal Christians to be associated with the body of Christ. So they don't go to church anymore. The truth is, God blesses both His church and His people through suffering. He makes you stronger through suffering. And that's why we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice because, first of all, suffering shows us that our Father in heaven cares for us. For God disciplines those whom He loves. The parent who doesn't discipline his children doesn't love his children. And those children grow up like those oak trees in Ann Arbor with no decent root system, and they fall the moment they face trouble. But your Heavenly Father wants you to stand firm in Christ Jesus, to stand firm so that you can receive from Christ the crown of eternal life. So your Father in heaven disciplines you to strengthen your connection to Christ, which is your faith. He disciplines you. He lets you suffer so that you are more firmly rooted in the rock of your salvation. You see, a weak faith is anchored in the things of this world. It doesn't need God all that much, and only calls on Him once in a while. But a strong faith is anchored in Christ, and paradoxically, it realizes how weak it is without Jesus. So God uses suffering to teach a weak faith to trust in Jesus and thus be strengthened, and a strong faith to be stronger even more. For Jesus, and only Jesus, can give you peace with God. And only Jesus can give you hope for eternal life. And also through suffering, then, God gives your faith endurance. That enduring nature to stand. Like those cottonwoods and elms in Nebraska. To stand in the midst of life's storms. To stand when the devil is throwing all kinds of temptations against you. To stand in the face of persecution. To stand because you're firmly anchored in Christ, who has conquered this world and all of its troubles. And second, we rejoice because endurance produces character. Character is the way we behave under pressure, when things aren't going our way. A weak character actually fights against God. A weak character complains when we must suffer. A weak character actually questions God's character. A weak character says, "Who does God think He is? I deserve better." But a strong character knows that God is working in you to strengthen your faith. A strong character knows that God needs to keep us humbly dependent on Christ. And a strong character knows that God's strength will see you through the difficult times, the times of suffering. A strong faith, a strong and good character knows that God will work out all things for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Look at the character of the Canaanite woman in our gospel reading. The suffering of her daughter left her helpless, and she had no place to turn but to Jesus. And so in humble faith, she turns to Jesus for help. But look how Jesus tests her character. At first, He ignores her. When she asks for mercy, then He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But she kneels before Him, and she asks again for help. And testing her further, He said, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" At this point, a person without character would have certainly gotten up and stormed away angry. But not the Canaanite woman. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Character teaches us that we deserve nothing from God. Not as sinners, but faith trusts in God's character. And His character is to show mercy to sinners. And third, rejoice because character produces hope. We put a lot of hope in our own ability to overcome suffering. or in the ability of science and technology to overcome our sicknesses, our diseases, and the troubles of our world. But ultimately, our hope in ourselves, in our sciences, in our technologies will fail. How do we know this? We will all suffer and die. The world ultimately is a hopeless place. It may promise all sorts of things, but all the things that it promises will fail you. Those who put their trust in this world will only find shame on Judgment Day. But a Christian's hope will never put him to shame, because your hope is based on Christ and his promises. Shame comes to us when we trust, when those that we trust break their promises. If an oak tree could talk, as it's laying there on its side, it would be rather ashamed of its root systems that failed it. And that's the way it will be for those who do not trust in Jesus on Judgment Day. But God will never shame you, because he will never break his promises to you. His promises have been sealed in the blood of Jesus that washes away your sins. His promise has been made perfect for you in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And God will always be faithful to his promises. He will never let you down. Your hope, then, is in the firm and fulfilled promises that God has fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Paul says that this hope is ours because God's love has been poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who has been given to you in holy baptism. But think about that. What exactly is this love that God has poured into your hearts? But the suffering and death of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Christ suffered for you. Christ died for you. That's proof of God's love for you. This love will never fail you. Even in the midst of suffering, God's love will never fail you. Even if suffering costs your life, God's love will never fail you, because you will live a new life in heaven with Jesus. This is the hope of eternal life. The hope that comes from an enduring faith in Jesus Christ. And even if your faith requires that you suffer, especially for your Lord and Savior, remember what Peter says, but rejoice in so far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. We rejoice in our sufferings because, thankfully, our sufferings show us that we can't save ourselves. We rejoice in our sufferings because, thankfully, our sufferings show us that this world is weak and hostile and cannot save us. We rejoice in our sufferings because, ultimately, our sufferings reveal the goodness of God. As God shows us our suffering Savior and the way to heaven, and so that we can be with God the Father in heaven through suffering, God actually pries our hands, our grip off this dying world, and puts into our hands the life we have in Jesus, that we may endure and live with him forever and ever. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. Would the congregation please stand?